content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Dean Silver from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Timber Press Guide to Vegetable Gardening in the Southeast, and that's by Ira Wallace. And we will start today's program with April, and Pretty Enough for the Front Yard. And we will start at kitchen gardens were once tucked away out of sight, but no more. Many fruit and vegetable plants, flowers and herbs are beautiful enough for the front yard. And front yard or back, they don't need mowing and invite beneficial insects into the garden, reducing pests and increasing yields. The warmth, frequent rains, and increasing day length of spring are great for your plants and the pests that love to feed on them. Take action now to gain control and maintain a healthy organic garden full of luscious produce. And to do this month, plan, prepare, and maintain. Monitor and care for your outdoor seedlings. Indoor seedlings. Install stakes or trellises for peas and pole beans. Weed and thin greens and root vegetables. Hill up potatoes by mounding soil over the plants from both sides, leaving only the top uncovered. Potatoes grow off the stem above the seed piece, so a longer stem under the soil means more potatoes. Weed perennials as needed. Mow paths. Cover strawberries if frost threatens, pick flowers off any new spring plantings, and thin fall raspberries to 6 canes per row foot. Mulch to control weeds and preserve moisture. Set up drip irrigation. Sow and plant. Harden off tomatoes, peppers, eggplants, celery, and celeriac, beginning 1 to 2 weeks before scheduled transplanting. Cover your cold frames when evening falls or bring the plants indoors for cold nights. Pot on lettuce and any remaining tomatoes, peppers, and eggplant into larger pots. Set sweet potatoes in flats for making slips by barely covering with potting soil, potting mix, or compost. Sow early cantaloupes and watermelons in soil blocks or plug flats. Sow some replacement tomatoes in case you need them. And sow more insectary flowers to keep the blooms coming. Direct sow radishes, turnips, carrots, beets, parsnips, salsify, and early summer varieties of lettuce when the lilac is in full bloom. Sow snap peas, cucumber, sunflowers, edamame, and sesame. When iris blooms fade, when the soil is about 65 degrees Fahrenheit, sow peanuts, limas, and sweet corn. Then 1 or 2 weeks later, the soil about 70 degrees Fahrenheit, sow southern peas, squash, and watermelon, and wait until the soil is ready. Really warm at 75 degrees Fahrenheit to sow okra, cantaloupes, and sweet potatoes. Sow cover crops in beds that will be open 5 or more weeks. Set out transplants of cabbage and broccoli under row cover, insectary flowers, celery, and celeriac. After your average last frost, or set out tomatoes, peppers, and eggplants. Always be prepared to protect them from frost. And the fresh harvest would be arugula, Asian greens, asparagus, broccoli, cabbage, and carrots. Cauliflower, beans, beets, collards, fresh herbs, garlic greens, garlic scallions, herbs, kale, kohlrabi, peas, lettuce, mustards, onion, peas, radishes, early raspberries, rhubarb, strawberries, and spinach. Check beets, garlic, onions, potatoes, sweet potatoes, and winter squash in storage. Inviting beneficial insects into the garden. An edible flowering border, alive and buzzing with beneficial insects, is breathtaking. Supporting a healthy population of good insects is as important for an organic gardener as building healthy soil. Sweet, juicy melons, crisp, cooling cucumbers, and abundant fruit harvests all require insect pollinators. Here's how to make your garden more inviting to insect helpers. First, stop spraying pesticides, even organic ones. Next, create year-round shelter and food for our native insects. Try to have flowers in bloom for as much of the year as possible, especially in early spring. Leave some leaf and plant litter on the ground over winter, as well as some bare ground for burrowing native bees. Finally, choose insect-friendly flowers. Luckily for us, many edible herbs and flowers are fantastic choices for tempting beneficial insects into the garden. But which bugs are good bugs? Everybody appreciates bees and other pollinators that bring us juicy apples and plump watermelons. But pollination isn't the only role that insects play. There are many beneficial insect predators that eat the eggs, larvae, or adult forms of common pests. The Southeast has hundreds of species of beneficial predatory insects, from hoverflies to parasitic wasps. Many serve a double role as pollinators during part of their life cycle. Some of the good bugs to encourage in your garden are lady beetles or ladybugs, and lacewings eat aphids, mealybugs, and spider mites. Big-eyed bugs, which are easily confused with squash bugs, eat insect eggs and larvae. Shiny ground beetles in a variety of colors eat slugs, cutworms, and many other soft-bodied pests. Most wasps are either parasitic or predators, playing a vital role in limiting the populations of thousands of bean beetles, caterpillars, and other insect species. Garden spiders consume huge numbers of insect pests. Choosing flowers and herbs that benefit the garden. Choose user-friendly flowers with easy-to-access pollen and nectar. There are three particularly good types. Umbels, are the flat-topped flower clusters of dill, fennel, cilantro, and parsley. Loose spikes of small flowers are common to many fragrant kitchen herbs, such as thyme, mint, and lavender. Daisy-type flowers are really tight clusters of minuscule flowers. They include chamomile, marigolds, chicory, dandelions, sunflowers, cornflowers, alyssum, and calendula. Native plants support many more insect herbivores than non-natives, so select native plants like echinacea, mountain mint, or redbud whenever possible. Many plants that support beneficial insects are edible, attractive, and provide interest in multiple seasons. Anise, hyssop, rosemary, bee balm, lavender, and bronze fennel attract loads of insects and are easy to fit in most gardens. Buckwheat is an easy-to-grow, insect-friendly summer cover crop. Insects need to eat all season, so try to arrange for successive waves of plants with different heights and flower types. Early spring can be a hard time for insects. Choose some plants that flower in early spring, like cilantro and arugula, and let some early chickweed or overwintered mustard flowers linger in your garden. Edible herbs and flowers. In addition to providing food and habitat for our insect allies, herbs and flowers can add flavor and fragrance to all sorts of dishes and are a must-have for the kitchen garden. Herbs can be grown mixed in with your vegetables or edging your perennial border. But for cooking, it is really most convenient to have a culinary herb patch close to the kitchen so you can run out and pick or snip fresh herbs for the evening meal. How to grow. Most edible herbs and flowers are easy to grow. Plant where they're 6 or more hours of sun a day, and in soil with enough organic material. Most soils in the southeast need generous amounts of compost or other organic material. Herbs like rosemary, thyme, oregano, and sage prefer a well-drained location with good air circulation, and possibly a bit of shade in the afternoon. Mint, lemon balm, violas, and lemongrass can tolerate more shade and prefer more moisture. I like to plant them under a roof drip line and spread an organic mulch to conserve moisture. Arrange your herbs and flowers with an eye to how the area will look throughout the year, mixing evergreen plants and annuals while paying attention to the height and texture of each plant. Plant aggressive growers like mint in a sunken pot so they don't take over the bed. Colored basils and edible flowers can brighten your design. Grow what your family likes to eat. Place the plants you'll use regularly close to the path. Herbs are great in all kinds of containers if growth in appropriate potting soil with holes for good drainage. Most herbs and edible flowers grow easily from seed, but many gardeners purchase perennials or get starts from friends in order to get the fragrance and taste they prefer. Whether you plant them in with the regular vegetables, creating an edible insectary, or grow them in containers, herbs and edible flowers add a lot to a garden. These are some of my favorite culinary herbs, edible flowers, and insectary plants. Anise hyssop, perennial, seeds or divisions. The mint-like plants have a bushy growth pattern, so spreading isn't a problem, although they will self-sow in the spring. Bees love them. The edible leaves and long flower spires make lovely licorice-flavored tea. Basil. This is annual and seeds. The classic Italian herb for pesto, vinegar, and dressings, basil is now available in an astounding array of colors, shapes, and sizes. Holy basil, or tulsi, has a lovely complex flavor and is grown outside sanctuaries in India. Lemon basils, purple basils, and tiny-leaved bush basils lend diversity to the table. Bee balm. This is perennial and uses seeds or divisions. The fragrant flower spires attract bees, butterflies, and hummingbirds. The light, fruity taste makes a refreshing summer tea, used by Native Americans as Oswego tea. And borage. This is annual, and you do seeds or self-sows. One of the only truly blue foods, the edible flowers taste like sweet cucumbers. The early blooms are very attractive to bees and help fill the spring flower gap. Use the flowers in salads, teas, sandwiches, or to garnish a Pimm's cup in New Orleans. Calendula. This is annual and from seeds. The attractive daisy-like flowers make glorious borders, and the bright orange petals give color to soups, custards, and rice. Try adding them to cookies or vinegars or mix into salads for extra flair. Catnip. This is perennial and uses seeds or divisions. A source of overwhelming excitement for your feline friends, you can also use the leaves to make a soothing tea. Chamomile. This is annual and do seeds or itself sows. Use just the flowers, not the stems, for a calming tea. The small, fragrant plants tend to self-sow, tempting bees into your garden. Dry the plants for potpourri or use the tiny yellow flowers as garnish in the spring. Chives. Or garlic chives. These are perennials and use seeds or divisions. Both chives and garlic chives are easy to grow perennials, excellent as a garnish, tossed into salads, and as a fresh addition to dips. The flowers of both are edible and pollinator friendly. Cilantro. Or coriander, and these are annual seeds and self-sows. Bring the smell of Mexico to your garden. Cilantro can be a love-it or hate-it thing, but Americans are being won over. The leaves bring pizzazz to salsa and the seeds can be ground for coriander to spice curries and falafel. Let some plants grow tall and form flowers to keep your pollinators happy. Daylily. This is perennial and used divisions. Add these spectacular large edible flowers to salads, batter and fry them. Stuff them with herb cheese and bake them, or decorate a wedding cake. They're most often orange, but also available in red or yellow. Dill is annual and seeds, the classic pickle spice. Add the leaves, flower heads, and seeds directly to your jars for a pretty garnish. Also an excellent addition to savory breads, herbed butter, vinegars, soups, fish, and salads. Echinacea. This is perennial, seed, or divisions. Often called purple cornflower, one of these daisy family plants that are so inviting to insects. Ornamental plus many medicinal uses. Fennel. Hardy perennial, and you do from seeds. Tall, aromatic, drought-tolerant, anise-flavored plant used in teas, cooking, baking, and absinthe. Self-sows freely. Lavender. It's perennial. Use seeds, divisions, or cuttings. Use the unopened buds in cooking, such as the traditional herbs de Provence. Use the fragrant flowers in potpourris, herb pillows, and crafts. Lemon balm, perennial and seeds or divisions. Mint family plants, that's a favorite of bees. Its genus name, Melissa, is Greek for honeybee. Use it in teas and lots of savory dishes. Marigold is annual and seeds. Use the petals from lemon gem or tangerine gem. Other varieties are bitter, often grown as a companion plant. Marjoram is tender perennial or annual. Seeds and divisions or cuttings. Aromatic Mediterranean herb, flavoring for meats, salads, omelets, vinegars, jellies, and teas. Oregano is a perennial, seeds or divisions, closely related to marjoram, and it needs good drainage. Flavors most savory foods, especially spaghetti and pizza. Peppermint and spearmint. These are perennial, use seeds, plants, or divisions. They're somewhat invasive, can be used as a ground cover, tolerates partial shade, and it's used in teas and sauces. Roselle. Tender perennial or annual, seeds or cuttings. Hibiscus family and its tall decorative plants, the red calyxes make zingy teas and jams. And rosemary is a woody perennial, seeds or plants, drought tolerant, flavoring for bread, vinegar, and many other foods, especially meats, vinegar, jam, bread, butters, vegetables, stuffing, and meat dishes. Roses, petals, and hips. They're perennial, plants, cuttings, or divisions. Rose hips are famously rich in vitamin C. Tea jelly. Use them in tea jelly. Make rose water or use in salads and many other foods. Sage. Perennial, seeds or cuttings. ornamental, medicinal, and culinary herb from the Mediterranean in use for thousands of years. Seasoning for meat, vegetables, eggs, and especially stuffing. Thyme is a perennial. Its seeds, divisions, or cuttings. Easy to grow, aromatic herb available in many varieties. Essential for bouquet garni. Also used for teas with lemon balm, for example, and flavoring poultry, fish, stews, soups, tomatoes, cheese, and eggs. And last but not least, viola. Johnny Jump Up, or Johnny Jump Up, I guess is another name. Perennials, their seeds, and self-sows. Small, colorful, early spring flower that looks like a mini pansy and used to garnish meals and desserts. And now we go to drip irrigation and water management. As we plant out warm season crops in earnest, it is important to make sure they will have all the water they need to thrive in the hot and sometimes dry months ahead. First, review your garden plans with an eye to efficient watering. Are plants with similar watering needs grouped together? Spreading a generous layer of organic mulch will suppress weeds, eliminating competition for water. Conserve moisture and moderate soil temperatures. Most vegetable plants need at least an inch of water per week, which thankfully often falls from the sky. When you do have to irrigate, apply enough water to wet the soil deeply, at least 6 inches. Frequent shallow watering leads to shallow-rooted plants that are less healthy and more prone to drought stress. Drip irrigation is the most efficient way to get water to the root zone. It also saves you money on metered city water. Drip irrigation is so much better than other watering systems that it is often exempted from watering restrictions in drought-struck areas. Adding a timer to your system will not only save you time and water, but will relieve you of worrying about watering while you're on vacation. There is no one right drip system for your garden. The number of options work in most situations. Before you go shopping, gather some information. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time, and we hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anna Dean Silver, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening.